Okay, good evening, Top Shoe. We'll be with you shortly. We're getting ready to go on Facebook, which I'm actually surprised we're even able to think about going on Facebook after the last 24 hours. But the last I checked, we still had access to Facebook. We'll find out here in a minute. I guess, what should we expect anything otherwise? Looking at the ownership of Facebook. Don't get me started on that one. Let me see if I can get in there. Okay, we're over on Facebook now. I'll go ahead and go live there. It's a nice warm day here in Pineville today. Okay, we're over on Facebook. Let me go into TalkShoe and see if we can get access. Welcome everybody that's joined us on Facebook. We're just getting set up right now on TalkShoe. And it looks like our moderator tonight, Brother Mark Kennedy, has already joined us.
Yes.
And we're going. Good evening, Mark. How are you?
Good.
Good. We're going to go ahead and Mark Phillips has agreed to help us read tonight, so we're going to forego him reading separate scriptures since he's going to be reading out of the book that we're going through, and then we're also going to sing a couple hymns and a psalm. We're 8 minutes before the hour, so we're on schedule here. So I'm going to turn the camera around here, and we're going to sing a couple psalms and also a couple hymns and also a psalm. Welcome aboard, Ashley Kenny, and all those that will be joining us shortly tonight. The first hymn we're going to sing tonight is called Rest for the Weary. Rest for the Weary. And we all need rest.
Amen.
Both spiritual and physical rest.
Yep.
This is 412 in the old school hymnal. 412. Mark, you want to start that?
In the Christian glory, there remains a land of rest. There my Savior's gone before me to fulfill my soul's request. There is rest for the weary. There is rest for the weary. There is rest for the weary. There is rest for you. Pain and sickness ne'er shall answer. Grief for woe my lot shall share. But in that celestial center, I a crown of life shall wear. There is rest for the weary. There is rest for the weary. There is rest for the weary. There is rest for you. Sing, oh, sing, ye heirs of glory. Shout your triumph as you go. Zion gates will open for you. You shall find an entrance through on the other side of Jordan, in the sweet field of Eden, where the tree of life is blooming. There is rest for you.
Well, the next one we're going to sing is Wonderful Grace, page 411. Wonderful Grace.
I was wandering in sin, far away from home. Close of darkness swept down on my soul. Then Jesus, my Savior, in mercy did come, bringing grace that can never be told. Grace, grace, wonderful grace that comes from the Father above. May Jesus our Savior forever, I pray, hold me fast in the arms of his love. The love of my Savior grows sweeter each day as the sorrows of life press me sore. For he paid my debts on Calvary Street, and my sins just forever he bore. It is grace which has brought sweet peace to my soul, and courage to serve him in love. If the winters be dreary and cold below, but beyond we go looking above. Now the clouds of war have gathered around, oh, the horrors bear down on my soul. But his grace will still keep me secure on my way, and land me in heaven, my goal. Grace, grace, wonderful grace, it comes from the Father above. May Jesus our Savior forever, I pray, hold me fast in the arms of his love.
Okay, the last thing we're going to do before we go over to the other part of our study of this chapter 32 of the book is taking out the Psalter, page 38, and it's Psalm 47. A. All people clap your hands for joy, to God is triumph shout. For terrible is the Lord Most High, breaking the earth throughout. He brings the people under us in his mastery complete. And he and his two nations also subdue beneath our feet. The land of our inheritance he chooses out for us, and he to us the glory gives of Jacob whom he loves. God is ascended with a shout, the Lord with trumpeting. Sing praises unto God's grace, sing praises to our King. For God is King of all the earth, sing praise with understanding. God rules the nation, God is on his throne of holiness. Assemblymen of Abram's God, some people, princes, I. The shields of earth belong to God, he is exalted high.
Hey,
well, I want to recognize Peter Akebade, I believe I said that right. Welcome aboard, and we're glad that you could join us. Also, I want to welcome aboard Bashara Shalayan. We're glad that you could join us tonight as well as Ashley and Brother Mark. Tonight, we're ready for chapter 32 in the book.
Yes.
One of my very favorite subjects in the Bible. And I think the reason I like it so much is because of the fact that so many people deny it. And it sets us apart from the masses, the people that are going another direction, people that have chosen by the decree of God to uphold their free will. Now, this chapter is a little bit longer than some of the other ones, so we're going to have to move through it pretty quickly. We don't have to get through the whole chapter tonight. We can do it in two sessions, but it's about, what, 278 to 292 in 88, 89, 90, about 14 pages. So we may try to scale back and just go halfway, because I'd rather make sure that we cover it. Now, what I thought we would do tonight is have Brother Mark Phillips, if you would, Mark, read the top of 278 down through the bottom of page 280 for us. And if you can, read loud so people can hear, because am I coming through loud and clear, Mark, Brother Mark Kennedy?
Yes, yes.
Good, good. Okay, go ahead, Brother Mark Phillips.
chapter 38, the doctrine.
No, 32.
No, sorry. Chapter 32, the doctrine of predestination. Paul unveils the beautiful doctrines of predestination and election in a marvelous way in the first and second chapter, Ephesians 1 through 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children through Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, the praise, the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed to himself, that in dispensation, the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. We first trusted in Christ, and in him ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, the purchased possession, as the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, also in that which is to come.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What did I tell you to read through down?
278 through 280.
Okay, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
You're welcome.
You, so what do you think about that you just read?
Sovereignty of God, God is Jesus Christ revealed to God the Father.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. Very succinctly put.
Yeah.
Well, I want to welcome aboard Babs. I want to welcome Carl, if he happens to be with us tonight. I also want to welcome aboard Andrew Brown from Wichita. And I, of course, want to welcome Sister Rosette, who just brought me my coffee. She's a jewel. And also, I want to welcome Bashara Cheyenne and Mark Kennedy. And I want to make some comments about what Mark has read, and then I'm going to turn it over to Brother Mark Kennedy and have him make comments and read for us. Beginning here in chapter 32, we have Paul's unveiling one of the most beautiful doctrines that can be found in all of Scripture. Notice he starts by, like he often does in many of his epistles, by saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. He makes sure that he lets everyone know that everything is by the will of God, not by the will of man. And he also says, grace be to you and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking to the saints. He says, the saints which are at Ephesus. So he's speaking to the church at Ephesus. He's speaking to the Ephesian people. And he says, grace be to you. What is grace? What is grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of God.
Amen.
Unmerited favor. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. Grace be to you and peace. I'm glad he said that too. Peace. You know, when we have grace, we have peace. Without grace, there is no peace.
Amen.
And where did he say, from God our Father? He not only says it's by the will of God, he says this grace and peace is from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's mentioning here the Father and the Son. And then he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says it again, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He doesn't say here, who hath blessed us with some spiritual blessings. That
right.
He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And then he goes on and says, according as he hath chosen us in him, and who's the him there? The him is Christ. He's chosen us in Christ before, and I like to say it two different ways, before the foundation of the world or before creation. Because
mm-hmm.
the foundation of the world, he notes that it was before creation. Okay? He has chosen us before creation. He's chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How can we be holy? How can we be holy and how can we be without blame before him in love? There's only one way. There's only one
yes.
way. And that's through the merits of his son, Jesus Christ, who paid the perfect sacrifice for our sins. That's the only way we can be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. That's how we have obtained the inheritance. That's how we've obtained the atonement. Is the fact that he was slain from the foundation of the world. He was slain from creation. And
mm-hmm.
that he's predestined unto the adoption of Jesus Christ to himself. Notice he reemphasizes again and again and again. One thing that I've always said about teaching is you want to be redundant. Okay? You want to repeat yourself. Repetition is the mother of all learning. You've heard that. Well, here's what he's saying again. According to the good pleasure of his will. Doesn't have anything to do with our will. To the Amen. Praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. You ever thought that is irresistible grace? He hath made us accepted in the beloved through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, in whom, who's the whom there? The whom is Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins, again, according to the riches of his grace. You know, we have no grace of our own. Okay, if it's unmerited, it's something that's wholly given to us. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Wow, it's amazing. That's hard for me to get my arms around sometimes. That's a phenomenal statement he's making there. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Everything is, all the focus is upon the will of God, the will of Jesus Christ. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Notice he is not dependent upon the creature. Notice all of these statements are based upon the fact that he's independent of his creation. That, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained. Notice we obtained it. It's not something we earned. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of our free will, right? Is that what it says? That's what some people think. They think that he's worked all things after the counsel of our free will. That's not what it says. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye had heard the word of truth. Notice that the trust came after we were quickened by the Holy Spirit. Notice that the notice that first of all, we all of these things were at the jurisdiction of Christ, the predestination, the adoption, the working all things after the counsel of his own will. All of that happened, okay, before we trusted in Christ. Before we trusted in Christ. And also, we heard the word of truth before we trusted. You ever thought about that? We heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? Well, he says the word of truth is the gospel of salvation. Okay? All of God's elect will ultimately embrace salvation. All of God's elect will be irresistibly drawn to Jesus Christ because he's been given, we have been given to Christ by the Father before we were born. In whom also that ye believed. You were sealed. Notice here now the third person of the Godhead comes into play. We were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And he says that he doesn't cease to give thanks for making mention of them in his prayers. And he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that their eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. By the way, there's that word, usward. Where's another place that found? Okay? It's found in Peter, isn't it? Remember? God is not willing that any should perish to usward, but that all should come to repentance. There's that word, usward. His power to usward. He doesn't say, what is the exceeding great of his power to all men without exception, speaking specifically to the saints. To usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Do you hear that, Benny Hinn? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So that's where I'm going to stop for right now. I'm going to turn that over now to Brother Mark. And then Brother Mark, after you finish, if you want to pick up reading at the top of 281, and maybe you can read down through the bottom of 285 for us.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, brother.
Yes.
Okay. God bless all of us saints. Hi, Sister Babs. God bless you, my friend. Hi, Brother Carl, if you're listening. God bless you. I love you guys in Christ. God bless all of our saints listening in tonight, wherever you may be. Turn to Jehovah, the God of all comfort. May he provide all of your needs, whatever they may be. Okay, here. Yes, the doctrines of predestination and election are the most, just about the most wonderful doctrines that could ever be. And in these first chapters of Ephesians, Paul makes it very clear by whose will he is an apostle. Of course, obviously, the will of God, the will of Jehovah. And he extends that greeting to the saints at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ. He extends the grace and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he extends blessing as well, as we can see here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, not some, but all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. We have it now. It's a current possession. It's not something that we're going to have in the future. It's the same way with eternal life. Eternal life starts here, and it starts now, and it extends forward past the end of this life in this world. We have it now as a present possession. Isn't that wonderful? I find that very comforting.
Yes.
And so, according as he has chosen us before in him, before the foundation of the world, that is just amazing to me. How the scriptures in the Psalms talk about how he knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb. That is amazing, you know. And so, you know, medical science can't even touch that. Jehovah knew us before we were in our mother's womb. You know, all this modern pregnancy equipment like ultrasound, they can only see what's already there. But Jehovah knew us before we were there in our mother's womb. And there's another psalm, think that says that he knew all of our days before even one of them came to be. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
That is so awesome. And all of this, you know, knowing us and choosing us before the foundation of the world, all of this that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so he predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ to himself, and this is the good pleasure of his will. And I'm so glad that God is not fickle like human beings. He doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all of this is to the praise of the glory of his grace, where he made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In that grace he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and he made the mystery of his will known to us, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. You know, it's amazing. Things, people and things get scattered throughout this world, never to be gathered together again, you know. We go through our lives and we collect things that are useful, and then we throw out other things as we go through our lives that we don't want anymore, never to be reclaimed. And people get scattered, you know, throughout human history and eras of time, but only Jehovah can bring a people together for his purposes. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I mean, it is.
We've been going and we've had, you know, new members to our fellowship just like 3 or 4 months ago, since the middle of December. We've, you know, because when I started with Brother Larry, it was just him and me doing this. And now we have another brother who has just discovered us and joined us since mid-December, just like a couple of months ago. So it's amazing how this world can get scattered and discombobulated in persons and things, but only Jehovah can bring people and things together in this life for his amazing purposes. That's just, and I think about things like that a lot. Things that this world considers impossible are not possible, are things that this world considers impossible are a piece of cake, a cakewalk for Jehovah. It's so easy to him. And so those are my thoughts at the moment. It's just amazing how, you know, God can bring things together. The most disparate elements he brings together for his purposes and his glory. I find that truly amazing.
Amen. Listen, I want to also welcome aboard not only Bashara Shilahan, but also Eva Indies. And Eva, I've seen you on your story, and beautiful picture there on your story. I think it was this morning, but I want to welcome you aboard with the group tonight, and may you feel the presence of the Lord, and may you be edified in what is said tonight, Sister Eva. You're absolutely right. I would say I couldn't have said it any better, brother. So with that, I'm going to have you go ahead and start reading at the top of 281 and work down through the bottom of 285 reading. And then after you finish, feel free to make any comments, and then I'll try to follow up, and maybe I can do a little reading too.
Okay, very good. All right. So I will overlap real quick and then continue on. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's where Mark left off, and I'll continue. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Yep, That's what we used to be. Praise God, we're not that anymore. Even as others, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain or two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit, yet one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are. Ephesians 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul clearly sets forth that man is dead in his trespasses in sin, but God has quickened all of his elect, whom were called by him before the foundation of the world, and were predestinated unto adoption to be his children. He also shows us in chapter 3 the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 to 11 and verse 18 to 21. Okay, let's see here. Okay, this is wonderful. He continues on. Paul clearly says that God has put all things under his feet, under Christ's feet, and made him to be head over all things to the church. The church is the body of Christ, and Jesus fills that with all in all, the fullness of Christ that fills all in all.
Yes.
And you hath he quickened. To be quickened is to be made spiritually alive, to be made aware of God, and that he is doing a work in your soul, bringing you to believe in his Son. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
This, and then the next sentence here, this is what we used to be, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. This is what we used to be. Isn't that wonderful that we're not that anymore because of him, not because of us? I love it. We're not that anymore. Praise God. We may not be what we should be yet, but praise God, we're not what we used to be. Isn't that awesome?
Yes, yes.
And so,
amen.
Among also, we all had our conversation. Yes, this is further illustration of what we used to be. We had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, you know, fulfilling the desires of the our unrenewed flesh and mind. We used to be children of wrath by nature, even as everyone else who is still that. And I just praise God that we're not what we used to be. And that is awesome. That means that we've progressed down this road of sanctification. That means, you know, we're heading in the... We may not have arrived yet, but we're heading in the right direction, praise God. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Yep. Awesome. We're heading in the right direction, praise God. Those are my thoughts at the moment.
Well, that's wonderful, and I want to welcome aboard Andre Barros. You've become quite a regular on the program, brother. We're glad to have you with us tonight. And Brother Leon Kennedy, glad to have you with us. Also, one of our regular brethren that join us. I also want to welcome aboard Don Clay, who's a part of this tonight. And Don, we're glad that you were able to be with us as well. And just for everybody's knowledge, we're working through the book, God Does Not Love Everyone, but He Does Love is elect from everlasting to everlasting. And we're in chapter 32 of the book, and we're dealing with the aspect of the doctrine of predestination. And Brother Mark has just very amiably talked about down to the end of page 285.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this particular reading that Brother Mark just read, Brother Mark pointed out that God has done a marvelous work in all of his elect. We're not the people that we used to be. You know, something happened to us.
Yeah.
And what happened is in the top of page 282, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. It's not by anything other than by grace.
That's right.
And hath raised us up together, and I like this, and made us sit together in heavenly places. That's irresistible grace. Christ did it all. And we could go back to other passages in John where it says that no man can come unto him unless it were given to him of the Father. And it also tells us in John 6 that all men must be drawn. You know, and it says in John 6:37 that all that the Father hath given him will come to him, and all that come to him he will in no wise cast out. This is what he's talking about here. making us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, okay? And that's why he goes on and further accentuates the fact. For by grace you save through faith and not of yourselves, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Lestin, there's a lot of boasting going on right now in some circles, but it's not of works. And so he also talks about how that over on the middle part of page 283, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. That's what Brother Mark was talking about. We all were afar off.
Yeah.
For through him both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of God. That's hard for us to understand how God has so marvelously done that for us, okay? And so, you know, this is a wonderful passage. Now, I'm going to go ahead and start at the top of 286. We'll see how far we get tonight. We may end up getting through this chapter. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things in himself, by him, I say, will they be things in earth or things in heaven? And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Colossians 1:11-20, Paul says, we have been given evidences of our election, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men you were, we were among you for you, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything, for they themselves show us of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how he turned to God. He turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which he delivered us from the wrath to come. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also will do it. Thessalonians 1:4-6. First Thessalonians 1:8-10. And 1 Thessalonians 2:13-14 and 5:24. We see again the contrast displayed by the Apostle Paul from those who have been given the faith of Christ and those who have not. and the end result upon each group of people in particular, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, unto whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 1:8-12, and 2 Thessalonians 2:7-14. Paul says that his acknowledging of the truth, the fact that he was an apostle and a servant of Jesus Christ, and the hope he has of eternal life, is all according to the faith of God's elect, and it was promised before the world began. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Titus 1:1-2. The contrast is shown to those who are not the elect of God. Under the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Titus 1:15-16. Well, I'm going to make some comments on this, and then I'm going to turn it over to Brother Mark to finish out. Well, this is a lot of material in a short order. But let's look at this. I love the passage in Colossians 1:11-20. I remember the first time that this was pointed out to me. I was at a point in my life when I was struggling with trying to reconcile God's sovereignty over evil. And I remember I talked to him and I said, you know, give me some scriptures. I said, give me some scriptures to study regarding God's sovereignty over evil. And he says, I'll tell you what you do. Read the first chapter of Colossians. Okay, is what he told me. So I went home and I began to read this. And when I got down to this part that says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities. If you ever want to have an interesting study, look up the word principality. You'll find that to be a real interesting word. Principalities, or powers, all things were created by him. Principalities were created by Jesus Christ. All powers were created by Jesus Christ. All dominions were created by Jesus Christ. And why were they created? They were created for him. Mm-hmm. And he is before all things. That's what Brother Mark was pointing out earlier, that, you know, I've often said that many people, when they talk about eternity, they always think about eternity forward. They don't think about eternity past.
Right.
This says he is before all things. He has always been.
Mm-hmm.
He knows no beginning, and he knows no. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And of course, it talks about how the Father has given him preeminence over all things.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go again. He reminds us that we were alienated and enemies in our minds by wicked works, but now he had reconciled. And how did he reconcile us to God? Well, he tells us he reconciled us to God in the body of his flesh through death. We didn't do anything to reconcile ourselves to God. We couldn't do anything to reconcile us. We were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. And how could he present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable? Well, he did it through the death of the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, Isaiah 53, and by his stripes we are healed. Well, he goes on and he says that we can, I love this when Paul says that we have evidences of our election. I love it. He says, beloved, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He doesn't say just hoping in your election. Okay, he says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And he says, it didn't come unto you in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. I know some old Primitive Baptists that say you can't have any assurance that you're one of his. I don't believe that. I believe this dispels that notion. It says that in much assurance, and another scripture tells us that our spirits bear witness with his spirit that we are the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's in Romans. Anyway, he says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And notice also that on page 288, he talks about the fact that even though God through Jesus Christ created all principalities, and even though we know that Satan is the great accuser of the brethren, and that he is, Satan is actively trying to deceive people, and it also talks about how that he is the prince and the power of the air that worketh in the children of disobedience. But notice the difference here, he says, as it relates to what Christ did for us, it says that he effectually worketh also in us that believe. It says mm-hmm. that his death, resurrection, okay, he delivered us from wrath to come. His resurrection delivered us from the wrath to come. That's why we are praised. That's why we give God all the praise and the glory, because of what he has done. And we see that not all men have faith. Not all men have been given the grace of Christ. Not all men have been predestinated unto adoption. Notice, right. though, he says, faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. That's pretty strong, okay? So we do see a contrast between God's people and those who, it says, in flaming fire, he takes flaming vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that they are going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power.
Mm.
And he says that, that God has been very clear in his word that there are two groups of people. There are those that are blood-bought. There are those who are predestinated from the foundation of the world. There are those that have been predestinated unto adoption, and there are those that are not. And then he goes on and talks about the fact that the wicked will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And we're living in a time where this is becoming more and more apparent.
Yeah.
Even him coming is after working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. We're beginning to see that now. I think that's a lot of what is going on with all this emphasis on the space, okay? And I believe that's one of the reasons Trump had to come up with this space force. You know, the lies of the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Okay, and it says God shall send them strong delusion. I don't know what all those delusions are, but you know what? Our culture has been inundated with lies, and people have bought into the lies. They bought into the lies of free will. They bought into the lies of a globe. They bought into the lies of the lies of Mormonism and Catholicism and Confucianism and Buddhism and Hinduism and the Muslim faith and the Baha'i faith, and you can go on and on and on, the strong delusions. But it's what happens here is it says that God had no pleasure in unrighteousness. But see the contrast. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved. Anytime you see the word beloved, that means loved beforehand. Okay? Loved beforehand. We were loved in Christ before we were even born. Okay?
Amen.
We have an eternal vital union with our Creator. And like Brother Mark said, you know, Jeremiah said, while he was yet in his mother's womb, God knew him. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. You know, he didn't wait until we were born to choose us to salvation. He chose us. According to Ephesians, back to what we were reading earlier, he chose us before the foundation of the world, okay? And so this Paul goes on in Thessalonians and talks about acknowledging the truth and the hope that he has of eternal life is all according to the faith that God has placed within us. And so we see the contrast between the elect of God and the reprobate. And this is what the book is entitled that we're going through. God does not love everyone, but he does love his elect from everlasting to everlasting. And this is accentuated by this chapter that we've just gone through. So I'm going to give the Mark some time to go through the same passages. And then when he finishes, we're going to go ahead and make our announcements. But I just love the doctrine of election and predestination. And I also want to welcome aboard Jim Kohler and Sam Rose Davis, who has also joined us. We appreciate your coming on board tonight. So, Brother Mark, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Brother. God bless you. Yes, I love this chapter of Colossians. It really highlights the eternal nature of God, that God had no beginning. He was God always existed as a spirit being. He had no beginning. And our finite, limited human mind, we cannot conceive of an eternal spiritual being that always existed and had no beginning. It's like trying to comprehend the massiveness of an ocean by looking at a bucket of ocean water, and it's just amazing to me.
Yes.
And in the views of the order of creation, or the order of salvation, the order of salutis, as they say, I believe that's the Latin phrase, but referring to the superlapsarian view, which I believe is the correct one, the decree of election and reprobation preceded the decree of creation of the creation and fall of man. And so that is the magnificent, untouchable work of Jehovah. And I love that part in here where it says, and all things were made by him, whether visible or invisible, thrones or dominions, powers, principalities, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. I'd like to jump over to John here. In John chapter 1, verse 3 is a very similar idea. In John chapter 1, verse 3, in the Authorized King James, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's really incredible. Even the things that mankind has made, like cars and buildings and computer chips, all of that was made out of the raw materials that God put in his creation. Just amazing to me. That just blows my mind. So scripture is right. All things were made by God. Even the things that mankind has made, because the things that mankind has made were made out of the raw materials like rocks and stones and metals and minerals that God put in the creation for us to do that with. And he puts it into the mind of man to do that with. Isn't that amazing? I love that. And that's right. In this passage, it talks about the ones who believe are ordained for that very thing, to believe. And he talks about those that do not believe, the same thing. They were ordained to walk in unbelief. And this all before the foundation of the world. And you try to tell that to these people that you're doing what God planned for you to do before you were even born, and they get mad at you. I don't want to hear it. Shut up. So those are my thoughts at this time. Praise God for this wonderful mission field. This is a mission field. It really is. I like what Brother Ed said the other night in that email. People think they have to go all to the other side of the world, you know, when the mission field is right outside your front door. I really like that.
Right.
So praise God.
And you know what? It's actually twofold. It's right outside our front door, and it's right as quick as a close. It's as close as a click of the mouse. Okay. With the click of the mouse, we can be in Kenya, Uganda, India, South Africa, the Soviet Union, China. And by the way, I believe that the church, everybody say, well, it has to be a local body. I don't agree with that. Because my question is, what's local? Okay, in other
That's
words,
right.
Everybody that is a believer in Jesus Christ that's with us tonight are part of Christ's bride. If they believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, if they've been redeemed by his blood, if they have been predestinated and foreknown by him, they are a part of the everlasting, eternal church, the bride of Christ. And they're with us right here. Okay? And so that's wonderful. Well, it's 6:50. We're coming up on the top of the hour. I appreciate you, Brother Mark, so much in laboring with us tonight. And I want to remind people, tomorrow night, by the way, Brother Carl really would have liked to have been with us tonight, Brother Carl Roberts, but he's going down on his boat. But tomorrow night, he will be back with us. We're changing the time to accommodate him around his work schedule. We're moving it up 1 hour. It'll be 5 o'clock Central time tomorrow night. And Brother Carl and Brother Mark are going to be leading that fellowship call, and I'll go ahead and turn it back over to Mark and let him give us the topic for tomorrow night.
Yes. I thought so. We're gonna move. So we're gonna be 1 hour early tomorrow night. And I was watching this video about the IPAC conference the other night, and I got a flash of inspiration from the Lord that we could talk about why is it that Israel seems to be the sacred cow of the Republican Party specifically and conservatism in generally. And I'm pretty sure it has its roots in the historical formation of Israel back in 1948 and all of that, and the things that have happened historically since then. And I was put in a funny way the other night when I proposed this idea to Brother Larry, and I said after that, well, maybe I better keep my big mouth shut and not get us into any more trouble than we already be in. So, but Facebook was ordered by Jehovah to put us back on, praise God. So we're back, only 24 hours. Everything's going to be okay. And so that is what I thought of for tomorrow evening. And I would ask everybody to lift up Brother Carl in your prayers, that God would keep that boat leak free and cause his crewmates to treat him with respect and decency. So I just ask everybody, please lift up Brother Carl Roberts in your prayers. Get him safely back home to his dear wife, Babs, who is our wonderful sister in the Lord. God bless you, Babs, my friend.
And yes, and Sister Babs, I want you to know that my wife, Sister Rosette, really enjoyed your time of fellowship before the broadcast today. And she enjoys these times every week where you guys can come together and have fellowship with the lady folks. So I want to also say that I agree with Brother Mark that his topic is timely. I would highly encourage everyone listening to this, if you want to get some really tremendous insight into the workings of what is going on right now in our culture, look at the latest APEC convention that happened for 3 days straight in our capital in Washington, D.C. All you have to do is put latest APEC convention. It's all on video. And you will be absolutely amazed what went on. I mean, from Nancy Pelosi to a number of congressmen, and what was said there. And Brother Mark hit it right on the, you know, it also stems from a lot of false teachings regarding Darby and the Scofield Bible and dispensationalism. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into all that. I think it's going to be a real interesting discussion tomorrow night. And then Monday night, Brother Edward Henry is going to be on, and we're going to be talking about the topic of abortion. It was a request by Sister Louise Greaves that we talk about this, and we're going to talk about how God sees abortion. There's a lot of churches, their so-called churches, that the way they justify abortion is saying that when a baby is aborted, you're just sending them to heaven. Okay.
Mm. Wow.
The problem with that is it's a denial of two things. One, it's a denial of the commandments of God that thou shalt not kill. Okay.
Yep.
And it's also a denial that men are not responsible for their acts to other creatures, and specifically as it relates to humankind. They are
That's
responsible.
Right.
So
yes.
Anyway, we're going to talk about that Monday night, and in the following talk show, Brother Ashley Kinney brought this topic to the fore, and that is all of the discussion around gun rights and the Second Amendment in the United States, and whether it's proper to be able to arm yourself and protect your family with a gun. You know, the United States is trying to chip away at our Second Amendment, and they're trying to, eventually they're going to try to take away all the guns from the populace, because history has shown us that any time a government takes away the rights of the population to own guns, they come in and start lording it over the governed. Okay.
Yep.
And so that's a subject. Now, as it relates to our personal consciences regarding how far we take in protecting our families, whether we believe in justifiable homicide or not, justifiable protection by killing someone else, protect our family members. That's an interesting discussion. And there are, I think there's Christians on both sides of the aisle that hold different perspectives on that. I would, now a lot of people will condemn me on that statement, but I believe that. Anyway, that's for Monday night. It's now 7:06. I've gone over. We hope you have a blessed evening tonight, and we look forward to the fellowship time with Brother Mark and Brother Carl tomorrow night. Just remember, we're going to be at 5 o'clock Central Time instead of 6. Any final comments, Brother Mark? Yes.
1 hour earlier. Yes, 1 hour earlier. Okay. Well, to all of our dear saints listening in wherever you may be, I commend you into the eternal grace of our wonderful God Jehovah, who is able to comfort you with all eternal comfort and bring you at last into the kingdom of God, heaven, when we get safely to the other side of the river of life after this life is over. May Jehovah meet you at the point of your need, whatever that may be. And I will close with this: truth if possible, and peace at all costs. Or no, I got that wrong. Peace if possible, but truth at all costs. I messed up. Praise God.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Brother Mark. And we will close out the broadcast, and we hope you have a blessed evening. Good night, brother.
Good night, saints. Good night, Brother Larry. Love you guys.
Love you too.